Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah. I was first introduced to Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor's story in O Magazine back in 2002, and I was fascinated by the fact that this woman who'd had a stroke and remained conscious to be able to talk about it. Well, most recently she appeared at the Technology Entertainment Design Conference, or called TED, where all the brilliant people go to hear other brilliant people and their ideas. And the tape of that conference has been moving around the internet in such a way that so many people have been made aware of her story. And I wanted to talk to her because she is the living, breathing epitome of what Eckhart Tolle has been saying in A New Earth about learning to silence our mind. Well, she wasn't trying to silence her mind, but when she had the stroke, her entire left hemisphere of her brain shut down, and the right hemisphere was still conscious and aware, and her perceptions are what we're all striving for, nirvana. Can't wait to talk to her. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series. So welcome to my Soul Series. If you have been listening to our Soul Series for the past year, or you're new, joining us on the webcast, or have been listening to our webcast with Eckhart Tolle for the past 10 weeks, you will notice that there are similar threads from all of that work and today's discussion. We've been studying awakening to our life's purpose, getting perspective of your ego, and being aware of the presence of consciousness that's always working in our lives. That's what we've discussed for the past 10 weeks in Eckhart's book, A New Earth. Well, a lot of us have been more successful than others in achieving this goal of being able to quiet our minds. My guest today went all the way there in the silencing of her mind, because it occurred by way of a massive stroke. An experience described beautifully in her book called My Stroke of Insight, A Brain Scientist's Personal Journey. Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor is a Harvard-trained neuroanatomist who teaches at the Indiana University School of Medicine and is a national spokesperson for the mentally ill for the Harvard Brain Tissue Resource Center. She travels the country as a singing scientist, and many of you may have seen this web tape of her that's sort of going around the web. People are passing it from one person to the other. I happen to have known about Dr. Taylor's experience several years ago when we profiled her in O Magazine. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about what your life was like before the stroke?
Before the stroke, I grew up to study the brain because I have a brother diagnosed with schizophrenia, and he's only 18 months older than I am, so he was my constant companion as a child. So my introduction to the world was through his eyes as well as through my own. And I recognized as a little girl that he was very different in the way he perceived experiences around and then chose to behave, and just his overall way that he put the world together. It was different from mine. So I became very highly tuned into body language, tone, how people interact with one another, what people found of value, how they made the decisions that they made. So I became fascinated with a human being. As what are we as a normal entity, and then later, as I was in a PhD program for neuroanatomy, he was formally diagnosed with schizophrenia. So at the time of the hemorrhage, though, I was at Harvard Medical School teaching and performing research. My area of specialty was the postmortem investigation of the brain as it relates to schizophrenia, and I was serving on the board of directors for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there was a lot of meaning in my life, because I was doing something that could make a difference in the lives of people like my brother.
Would you consider yourself a spiritual person before? the stroke?
I would describe myself as spiritual but not religious.
Mm-hmm.
To me, religion has. I grew up. My father was a retired minister,
mm-hmm.
So I went to church because I had to go to church, and it didn't really resonate mm-hmm. with me. But I did. I could put myself in a bigger picture,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't. It wasn't well defined.
Would you say though you were basically where you were more intellectual? Then
I was definitely more. I my spirituality was an intellectual process.
So take us to the night before the stroke,
mm-hmm.
and then to the morning of the stroke.
Actually, the day before, we had been at Mass General Hospital, the entire Harvard Brain Bank, and we all went, and we were recognized for our work in the brain bank world. So that was the day before, and then yes, the next morning I end up back at Mass General Hospital, but under not
very,
so delightful
very different
yes, very
circumstances.
Right.
All right. So my point is, the night before, life is fine.
Right.
You think you're going to just go through life the way your regular routine operates.
Yep.
You wake up the morning of the stroke.
Yes.
Let's begin there.
Okay. So I wake up, and I reach over and I turn off
the alarm.
And I steal. And it is true, because in those few moments, you know what that land that you go to.
You call it Thetaville.
I call it Thetaville.
Yeah.
It's that space between being alert and being asleep.
Yeah, that place.
It's a creative space. It's a great place to just plan your day, or not even get to that level of detail, but just to. And have you notice that you float there,
you swim there,
you're at one with everything, and it's peaceful.
Yeah, I love that space.
I do too. So I woke up that morning and I was in that space, and it was delightful. And then this pounding started bothering me behind my eye. So I started my normal exercise routine.
Yeah, because you say, I love that, how you say, I've got this pounding behind my eye. A lot of people would say, let me call in, I can't go to work today. You say, I've got this pounding behind my eye. Let me get on my
cardio glider. Let's do some exercise.
And maybe that'll help it go away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a healthy person.
Well, that morning I wasn't very healthy, but at least I had the right attitude.
So you get on the exercise glider because you think exercise will maybe help the headache.
Yeah. It's going to get my body, the blood flowing, just kind of normalize everything.
And then?
Well, there was this shift in perception, a shift in consciousness, where I essentially became a witness to myself being on this machine, having this experience.
Yeah.
So it was very peculiar. It was as though I had shifted into an esoteric space, witnessing myself instead of being on the machine performing the function. And my hands looked like claws, and my body looked peculiar, and just the entire perception was odd.
And what went through your mind?
Well, I knew something was going on, but I didn't know, because I've never had a hemorrhage, I've never had a stroke, so I couldn't know that was what I was having.
Uh-huh.
I had had a history of migraine headache in the past, but this wasn't really like that. So I just thought, okay, I'm just gonna watch this for a while. So I got off of the machine, and I noticed that everything in my body had slowed way down,
mm-hmm.
and my thoughts had slowed, and my body was deliberate and rigid,
mm-hmm.
and there was a constriction in my area of perception. I was living outside of Boston, where it's noisy. I had no perception of noise, and I just became tuned into the workings of my body.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting.
And then
through the eyes of a neuroanatomist, it's very interesting. You have to understand. This is like interesting.
Very fascinating.
It was fascinating.
Okay. So then you decide, I'm going to go into the shower.
Yes.
I'm going to get myself to the shower.
Yes.
What happened when you turned on the shower?
Well, when I turned on the shower, the volume of the sound of the water as it hit the tub was just amplified, and it just the loudness just knocked me back and knocked me over, and it was and I realized at that point that I'm having a major problem, and it is involving my auditory system. And as a neuroanatomist, I know of course where the fibers are in the circuitry, and at this point I'm becoming alerted to the fact that I'm having a real problem, and it could possibly be life threatening.
Okay.
Yeah.
At this point though, you didn't know it was stroke.
No.
You didn't know.
I still had no idea.
Okay, so let me read what you wrote here. You say, when the shower droplets beat into my chest like little bullets, I was harshly startled back into this reality. As I held my hands up in front of my face and wiggled my fingers, I was simultaneously perplexed and intrigued. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a strange and amazing thing I am.
Yeah.
What a bizarre living being I am. Life, I am life. Mm-hmm. I'm a sea of water bound inside this membranous pouch. Mm-hmm. Here in this form, I'm a conscious mind, and this body is the vehicle through which I am alive. I am trillions of cells sharing a common mind. Mm-hmm. I am here now, thriving as life. Wow, what an unfathomable concept. Mm-hmm. I am cellular life. No, I am molecular life with manual dexterity and a cognitive mind. Mm-hmm. Tell us what was going on there.
Well, you know, when I became detached from my normal perception of myself and I shifted, I am a liquid. I am a fluid entity. We all are. And we're made up of these 50 trillion beautiful, incredible molecular geniuses that create our form. And we think of ourselves as, oh, that's a leg. No big deal. But it's not. It's cells. It's skin cells and muscle cells and blood cells are flowing through and there's fluid everywhere and there's an immune system in there. It's a world within. And as I shifted away from the perception that I was this single, solid, separate entity, I shifted into this awareness that I'm this miraculous conglomeration of trillions of little organisms working together for me to be. And I could do this. I could wiggle my fingers. And just because I could wiggle my fingers and I had a mind, I could reach out into the world and I could move it. And wow, what a concept. I mean, have you ever thought about yourself like that?
No.
And we are that. We're this incredible miracle of life. And we've like forgotten that this is what we are. And we've lost that appreciation for what we are as a living entity and that it's temporary. It's temporary. So take care of it. Take care of it. Nurture it. Be good to it.
All right. Let's talk about the fluidity part. Yeah. You kept saying, I am a fluid. I'm a fluid. What does that mean?
Well, it means that I am a fluid. I'm 80% water. I am cells and molecules in motion, which are our fluidity. I am a fluid. I am atoms and molecules outside of us. I'm in motion with that. I'm just a very dense entity. So there's a tiny group of cells inside of the left hemisphere that says, I'm a solid.
Yeah.
I am an entity, a single. I'm a single solid separate from you. And this is where I begin and this is where I end. And that's where you begin and that's where you end. And we're separate. But we're not. And if you lose that little group of cells in there that are telling you that, then you have no perception that you're separate.
I'm talking to Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor, who wrote a book called My Stroke of Insight, it's called, because she had a massive stroke and remained conscious the entire time and lived, obviously, sitting here with me now, to write about it. Do you consider yourself a stroke survivor or a stroke triumphant?
Oh, I like that. I love that. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, stroke
absolutely.
Triumphant.
A stroke triumphant. Yeah.
I love that you write, for the first time I felt truly at one with my body as a complex construction of living, thriving organisms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you could see that.
Yeah, that's what I had become. Yeah, I had lived pretty much in my head before, and as that intellectual, mental, you know, the body kind of served my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I was real clear that I was a full, capable, thriving conglomeration, regardless of whether or not I had that cognitive mind or not.
So when did you realize this is a stroke?
I'd just gotten out of the shower and I had dressed for work and I was walking around my apartment and I was visualizing the road to McLean Hospital asking, can I drive?
Mm-hmm.
Can I drive? And then the right arm went totally paralyzed. And it was just like a thud against my body. It was amazing. I never had anything like that happen before.
And so when the right arm went thud against your body, that's when you said,
oh my gosh, I'm having a stroke.
I'm having a stroke. All right.
And then the next thing my brain said to me was, you know, you read the book.
Yeah, which one? Which one? Which
wow.
Next?
Wow.
This is so cool. That's right. I know.
It
wow.
Did. It was.
This
like,
is so cool.
Okay, this is what I'm dealing with.
Hey,
wow.
Cool. It's a stroke.
Yeah.
Now, you were never afraid.
I was fortunate.
You were not afraid.
The portion of my brain, because fear is a circuit as well. It's the amygdala.
Didn't you bring a brain today?
I did. I brought a brain.
Can you give me the brain?
Yeah. Now, Oprah, I have to tell you that I've dreamed for years of handing you a brain with a spinal cord hanging down.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So put load them up.
Wow.
So here, Oprah.
Let me hold the brain. Yeah. Got the brain in my hand.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah.
So this is left, and there's little spongy things.
This is right.
This is right, left. Right and left.
This is back with the spinal cord.
So was the entire left hemisphere bleeding?
Mine, yes. It started relatively small, deep inside over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it was a hemorrhage, so it got bigger and bigger and bigger over the course of the morning.
And the left hemisphere does what for us?
It does our language. It's our ability to think sequentially, to think methodically, to think linearly, to be able to know A plus B equals C. Any kind, it's our numbers. It's our ability to communicate with the external world.
And the right hemisphere is the big picture.
The right hemisphere is the big picture. All the information. Exactly. It gives us the context of everything. It also gives us the more subtle kinds of understanding. It's our intuition. It's our witness or our observer.
Wow.
It's our ability to experience peace, deep inner peace. So the two hemispheres are very different in their function and in how they do that.
So literally, you know, you've been following us with Eckhart Tolle,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So literally, he talks about being able to quiet the mind.
Yeah.
He's talking about being able to quiet the left hemisphere.
Yes. Yeah.
And you were able to do that.
Well, not on purpose, but
not
that
on purpose.
Happened.
That's what happened.
Yes, that's what
the
happened.
The entire
to me.
Left hemisphere went quiet.
It went totally silent.
Which means you lost your ego.
I lost my ego. Yeah, I lost the cells that said I am, and because that's part of language.
Right.
And so I did not exist anymore. And so on the afternoon of the stroke, I was essentially an infant in a woman's body, and I didn't have any of her recollection of her life. So was I her anymore?
So what did exist then? So you lost the ego.
Right.
You lost the sense of I am and
right.
your sense of context to,
right.
you know, I am not only a name, but I am, you know, a PhD
right.
at Harvard.
Right.
I am, you know.
I wasn't any of that anymore.
So lost all of that.
Yeah.
But what you had, though,
right.
was a sense of oneness and
right.
a sense of peace and
right.
a sense of connection to humanity
yeah.
in a way that you'd never
exactly.
had before.
Yeah.
Because all
yeah.
of that other stuff had been quieted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when I look at people who have had any kind of trauma, I ask, what have they gained? What have they gained? Because now something is missing, and that has removed an inhibition off of something else. And what I gained was this incredible knowingness of deep inner peace, an excitement of realizing everything was interconnected, and I lost the boundary of my body, so I felt that I was enormous, as big as the universe, because I no longer defined that this was where I began and this was where I ended.
Now, was what you're perceiving true, or is that because of the perception of the right brain without the left?
That's the question. I mean, the ultimate goal in order to be a functional human being is to have a balanced brain, be able to do both, be able to call on the skills of each of them.
Right.
And if we can live our lives in the real world, recognizing that we are at one with all that is, and that we are brothers and sisters on this planet because we're sharing all the same atoms and molecules,
right.
then I have compassion for you because you're part of me.
One of the things you say when you're telling us in the beginning of the book about the simple science of what happened to you in your brain, you say, as members of the same human species, you and I share all but 0.01%
yeah.
of identical genetic sequences. So biologically, as a species, you and I are virtually identical to one another at the level of our genes, and there's only 0.01% difference,
right.
and that is what makes all the difference.
That's right. That's
but 99.99%
right.
of yeah. all of us
is the same.
Is the same.
Is the same.
Doesn't,
yeah.
you know, when I read that, and I, you know, certainly have heard that and have read it in different contexts, but you made it so simple that it made me so sad for all of the wars and violence and prejudices and disagreements and arguments and when you're all 99.9% the same.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. We are brothers and sisters. We have this level of hostility that focuses on our differences instead of our similarities. And because
you're
different.
And so we're all fighting over the
one hundredth of 1%. Yeah. It's really, really sad.
It's crazy. Really,
yeah, it is. It's very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate.
So what was your main stroke of insight?
I think to me that deep inner peace exists mm-hmm. at the core of the right hemisphere. And my motivation to come back and to go through the process of recovery.
Because the truth is, you reached the state of nirvana.
I was in pure euphoria, and
people meditate for hours.
Yeah, I was in the silent mind.
You were.
I sat in the silent mind where I was essentially sitting in the lap of the universe at one with all that was, and yet I still had this body. I still was alive.
Did you see God?
I essentially was God. It depends on how you define God. What is God? Is God something that is separate to you? To me, God is the energy of all that is, the all-knowingness, the fluidity, the slow tranquilness of all that moves
What you're saying is, let me help you, because when
thank
you say
you.
You're God, people go
yeah,
crazy.
Thank you very
you know,
much.
They think you're the Beatles. you think you're the Beatles.
Yeah.
What you're saying is you could see your connection
yeah.
to the omnipotence and
yes.
enormity
yes.
of
I was
that
no
which
longer
is God.
Separate from it.
You were not separate
I
from
was
God.
No longer separate from it.
You could see how
it.
You were a direct part of
yes.
God.
Yes.
A part
yes.
of God.
Yes.
And so you sort of flow into that
yes.
energy that is God.
Yes. Exactly.
And how we are manifesting as a physical being or entity coming from that source that
right.
is God,
yes.
that we call God.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And in that condition, I was alive and capable of having that experience and no longer feeling separate from, which
one
was
of the things
the
I love
hemisphere.
That you said at the end of the chapter on the day of the stroke. I wondered how I could have spent so many years mm-hmm. in this body, in this form of life, and never really understood that I was just visiting here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think that for me and for those of you who are listening or part of this, that's one of the great lessons that we can get from you is, you know, not to have to experience the stroke,
mm-hmm. right.
but to hear what your vision and your insight
mm-hmm.
from this experience has allowed
mm-hmm.
you to know
mm-hmm.
about what is true for all of us.
Yeah. And I feel very blessed. You know, I feel blessed that I was prepared. My mind was essentially prepared to watch this experience happen. And then the experience happened. And then I was fortunate enough to be surrounded with what I needed in order to recover.
Well, I want you to come back and we're going to talk about your recovery and your motivation to come back from this place of, you know, I've heard other people talk about quote, near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. Was this near-death experience for you?
Well, I didn't have the lights and
all
I didn't
that.
Have the experience, but I did almost die. So from that perspective.
Yeah. And so I can't
okay.
wait to talk to you again.
So thank you.
Thank you. My
yeah.
stroke of insight, Dr. Jill Bote Taylor. Thanks, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this edition of our Soul Series. These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM Radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.